Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole and Ray. The homie Will T is under weather, so he's not in the building. But we are also part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. What's going on, Ray?
Will T really made it a game time decision. Like, literally, the first time in history I've seen that happen of this podcast. Somebody showed up, but just couldn't make it through warm ups.
But he was dedicated, though. Like, we got to give credit where credit is due.
He tried.
He really wanted to make it happen, man. So I think that's pretty dope, man.
It's hilarious. It's not hilarious that he's sick.
I know what you mean.
Wish you feel better, of course. I just wished him that, but at the same time, the fact that he showed up and tried. It was a valiant effort.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Valiant.
We got to give him his flowers for that. You know what I mean? So props to Will T for trying to be on this show. But hey, I mentioned Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe red button. Also, like a bunch of our videos. We got a lot of popping videos. So we got one coming up that's going to be dope. Yeah. So make sure you tune in.
Big time stuff. You can also catch the Urban Sports Scene on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in news and health in the DMV region. Go and download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. And don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Check out. I was reading on my phone. Check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Challenge. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene Sports Bloggers, Sports Podcasters, and Sports Debates. Will T's not in the building, so I'll say it. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders losing to the Philadelphia Eagles 24-8 and their upcoming game against their rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. And finally, in our segment HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with North Carolina A&T State's men's basketball coach, Philip Schumper. But first, last Sunday, the Washington Commanders were dominated by the Philadelphia Eagles 24-8. Ray, what were your thoughts on Washington's performance?
Man, I feel like we've talked about this ad nauseum already because we've just been so active. I watched the post game. Shout out to you guys. George Templeton, of course, he's just one of our biggest supporters and just a friend of the show and the B&G Report. Check him out as well. They came through. And what I haven't had a chance to say, and I want to get your thoughts, is did not just the Washington fans, but did the Washington Commanders underestimate Philly's defense? Last week, you and I talked, and you said, you think Philly's defense is real? You know, go back and check it out. I was like, yeah, I actually do think they're better. They improved this shit. And you're like, I don't really think so. you're making a face now. People can't see you. But I feel as though that was one of the issues, and they came in just like Detroit with a game plan. Yeah. Washington did not game plan as well, sleeping on their defense, so to speak, and they got punched in the mouth early, and Scott Turner did not adjust quick enough yet again. That was the issue. Now, you can get punched in the mouth. That happens.
Yeah.
But it's how you adjust.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles, again, with that just a four-man rush, came in and sort of not shocked but surprised. Gary said the two words together, surprised. they surprised the Washington Commanders. And like I said, Scott Turner and the offense. And then the protection just was tough. The offensive line had a difficult day. And they're not the healthiest. But people think, of course, they need to make some moves.
Yeah, shout out to George. He's right. He's on the chat. He says, get in this show before the hurricane gets here. Like, George, he's a soldier, man. He's a soldier. He just shows the support. We appreciate you, George, man. But in terms of the defense, they're not horrible. I mean, like the Eagles' defense is solid. It's a good defense. It's not, to me, Washington's offense is just terrible. Like, so you're going to make – well, The play calling is terrible, bro. Like, it's just you heard me. On, I feel like I don't want to be too redundant. You weren't on the show. You weren't on the
I watched.
You watched, but no. What I'm saying is that your views can now be heard. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, so I'm gonna sound real redundant. It's just that my thoughts on the game is they weren't prepared. Let me just give you an overall synopsis of it. They weren't prepared in this game, and it's something that Derek Forrest said in the Detroit game. He said it seemed like Detroit knew whatever they were going to do defensively, and they didn't adjust to it. And it seems like the same thing with the Eagles. Obviously, people can scheme up for this team offensively because, like we've mentioned just before the season started, and even you saw it in the Jacksonville game, and you saw it even in the Detroit Lions game, that this team does have weapons. Like, they have offensive weapons. I'm going to stay on the offensive side of football. They do have offensive weapons. And there is no excuse if you are a good play caller. You know what I mean? Forget that. If you're a good play caller, I'm not even use the term genius. If you're a good play caller, you're not getting shut down in the first half. And what I mean by shut out and shut down in the first half, I mean when you look like, literally, like you should be playing, you're a high school team playing against a college football team. Like, that's how bad your offense looked. And to me, they have too many weapons for that to happen. Like, to not be able to get first downs. Mm-hmm. That is atrocious to me. In two straight weeks. That tells me a lot. That tells me, and I'm watching that game. I mentioned it before, and we tweeted about it during the game. Gibson in the first half was averaging about 5.8 yards a carry. In the first half when the game was competitive. Even in the mixed win, the game was competitive. You decided to throw the football. You threw the football like three straight times after Gibson had like an 11-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
Play calling. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't go what worked. You were being stubborn. So that's my thing, bro. It's just like, well, how I look at this game is it's all about being prepared. Putting your players in the best situation to be competitive. Forget winning the football game, but just to be competitive. And I feel like for 2 weeks, this coaching staff has not gotten this team prepared.
Okay, so right before the game, you saw Fletcher Cox go up and dap. He dapped up
Carson
Wentz. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance that Fletcher Cox, in a way, just like anybody who has their opponent outmatched, it's just like a lot of times, who's a good example, where folks are friends, but you know you about to give your friend the business. When you have an overwhelming advantage, I'm trying to think of an example in sports when – you got guys who are cool with each other. It's just like Carmelo and Kobe were cool, but Kobe knew Carmelo's teams couldn't beat him.
Yeah, gotcha.
That type of thing. Uh-huh. I feel like Fletcher Cox knew going in, this is the game plan. Guys, trust me. I know this dude. This is my man, but we got him. Vince Carter said that about Brendan Haywood. He was like, we could be Washington because they don't have no big man. And he's like, wait a minute, my man Brendan's there. But he's like, I like my chances, though. I'm just saying.
I know what you're trying to do, but players do it all the time. I know what you're saying, though.
You don't think it's a chance. Fletcher Cox knew we about to get this dude the business.
No, definitely it's a possibility. I'm not taking that away from you. I'm just saying that players do that all the time. Like, in today's football, like, Ohio State players do that all the time when they see each other. Like, they do that. They dap their homies up. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure in the back of their mind, they're like, yeah, we about to give you the business, obviously. Like, I'm not saying that that's not in play, but I'm saying, like, that aspect, I feel like he dapped him up because that's his boy. And if you hear Carson Wentz talk about him after the game. He mentioned Fletcher Cox. Like,
of course he
these
did.
These dudes are.
He should.
He mentioned him. Yeah. I'm sure Kelsey.
As much they were in his face.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure Kelsey, like, he loved Kelsey. Like, that's his boy. But I'm sure Kelsey dapped him up. And Kelsey probably said, yo, we about to get you out of business. And it's mine. And that's his boy.
Saying it's competitive.
There are
times where I compete against somebody and I know they're near my level in something. Yeah. But there are times where I know this is my man, but it's no way.
Right. It's a better example to be is like if you're not super tight with somebody. Like, for instance, you watch the Lakers on HBO, the Magic, like the what's it called?
Showtime,
right?
Yeah.
Showtime, right?
I don't think Showtime.
I think something else.
I don't know.
It don't matter. I watch whatever. So Dr. J in Dr. J daps up Magic before the game. Like, he gives him this, you know, give him all love because Magic idolizes him. And folks are looking at him like, yo, he trying to get you. He know he about to bust your ass. He trying to get you. So he takes – so he busts – I think it's a regular season game, and he busts Magic's ass. And then Magic, after the game, doesn't want to he's on it now. He know that he's trying to soften him up.
Oh, it's winning time.
Winning time. He knows he's trying to soften him up. So he's trying to soften Magic up so he can take away that competitive nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I feel like that's more of a better example because it's not like y'all super tight, but you know you about to bust this dude's ass. So I'm like, I think this situation, I think they just boys. But at the end of the day, like, I know what you're saying, they're the competitors. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
I just feel like again, Carson Wentz, we know who he is and we know what his reputation is. Now, I want to ask you this because you tweeted about The Ringer again. I feel like it was a subliminal shot, even though I'm not on Twitter. Well, it
subliminal?
So, at me, a little bit.
No, it was about The Ringer.
No, it wasn't, though.
It's about The Ringer.
No, I know, but it wasn't about me. But yeah. Let me ask you this. Was that strictly a Carson Wentz is compared to Trubisky tweet, or was it Carson Wentz, this is our guy, I'm touting our quarterback?
Trubisky. Directly to Trubisky.
Okay.
Because it was a joke. The Trubisky thing was a joke.
Okay, I was making sure. No, the only reason I'm asking is because I feel as though, seriously, and I'm included. I said this last week. You should still have hope if you're a Commanders fan because your offense can score now.
Yeah.
But then they come out and they lay an egg in the first half. And then the second half, even as Philly seemed like they let up a bit.
They let up.
Still, you didn't finish drives and you didn't get in the end zone until late in the game. So that tells me that Carson Wentz still has some work to do to overcome his past and overcome some of the mental aspect. We discussed this on a different pod. Shout out to the homie Big Doug.
Yeah.
There's mental stuff going on this team across the board.
Carson Wentz,
you saw the Eagles put so much pressure. He started throwing the ball erratically.
Yes.
And then on the flip side, you got the guys like Kendall Fuller who continue to struggle, and we believe that part of it is mental because we like Kendall. He's a speedster, and he's historically been pretty good, played at the highest level. I keep saying that because experience does matter, but he's struggling right now.
Big time, bro.
And it's interesting how this coach, who we always talk about, he's not very demonstrative. He's low-key. How can you rally these guys with the coaching staff that you have?
I don't know, man. That's what I'm trying to figure out, man. I don't get it. Like, I don't know. I'm going to read this comment from Eric.
Okay.
Eric said, Commanders have issues. The thing with the San Francisco 49ers and Garoppolo, Commanders won't go anywhere with an emotionally fragile quarterback. Worried about who else might come in. I'm not sure about, like, I mean, I know the Garoppolo thing came out. Man, Garoppolo, look at his last game. These quarterbacks are bad. There's a bad quarterback playing in the NFL. That's one thing I will say. There's a lot of bad quarterback playing in the NFL. But to your point about, like, can you have faith in what's going on? I don't have any faith. I won't even lie to you, bro. Like, to me, you don't have no faith into the – I don't know how you have faith in, like, the coaches at this point in time. Because it is what it is. You're talking about, for instance, Kendall Fuller. And we were on a different show. And it was – I thought it was a great point that, you know, Doug and Swaggy, you know, what they were talking about in terms of losing confidence. For Kendall Fuller, like, I didn't think about that, like, never thought about that. I just thought his abs were getting bust. I just thought it is what it is. But, like, comparing it to, like, Carson, like, losing, like, in that game, you could tell he was shook. Like, he was shook. Everyone saw it. He was shook. But then going to Kendall Fuller, like, oh man, like, this is it's a snowball effect. Woe is me. This is happening. Like, everything that's throwing at me is getting caught. Like, now it's mental. Now it has to get to a point where coaching has to come to a play. Like, how do you kind of take care of that? Because you know a player is in his own head, right? So how do you take care of that? Do you put him in situations where he has to go against a Devontae Smith and an A.J. Brown? Do you, like, make it easy for him? Do you put him back in a place where he had success, a lot of success in nickel? Like, from now on, not to say in that game is over. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, going to the next game, how do you now adjust? How do you adjust and say, you know what, how do we hide you? Somebody had a good point too. I'll give you the flowers too with this. They said that how about moving because Bobby McCain used to play slot. He used to move Bobby McCain to slot.
He's versatile.
He's versatile.
Yeah.
Put Kendall Fuller at safety. Let him play safety, and then have, you know, William Jackson and St. Juice on the outside.
Sounds like a
I
great
thought
idea.
That was a good
theory.
Idea. Well, I was
it
like,
sounds like it.
In a third, I was like,
now are the coaches going to listen to that? I highly doubt it.
Not gonna be stubborn. That's
Man,
what I said.
I'm trying to tell you. That's what I said. See, I don't like – the reason why I don't like Coach Rivera's energy is because maybe it's in part because of the media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're part of the media to a degree.
To a degree.
We're part of the new media. We're not mainstream media.
Yeah,
okay? But at the same time, what I'm speaking of specifically is television.
Yeah.
Because 4-game winning streak, they're showing Coach Rivera in the locker room every week, and he has these rah-rah speeches.
Oh, God.
But then when they take L's, he's standing there with his arms crossed. And I just never understand why he doesn't have some consistency. And, well, he's consistently bad in terms of decision-making, I think.
Yeah,
I don't want to say that. I just feel like when it comes to, okay, are you going to adjust? We were talking about that. Chances are, you know, they're not going to make any changes.
Yeah.
Just like personnel-wise, are you going to add a linebacker? Oh, well, we like the guys we have. We're confident. Are you going to change special teams personnel? Are you going to put somebody back there who can return kicks? Nope, Dax is our guy. type of thing. Joey Sly, what do you think? Only miss one kick. He's very consistent in terms of I made this decision and I'm sticking to it. However, other than that, I just feel like in terms of just motivating his team, he struggled. And how do you help a guy like Kendall Fuller without making an adjustment? A demotion, will that motivate him, so to speak? It's not a demotion though. It's just moving him to a position where he can be more successful.
Yeah.
And explaining to him, dude, let's look at what happened.
Dude, everybody watched the Eagles game. Did you not see the Eagles game? Like, what was happening? He was getting mauled.
So, like, who was Wild Goose, by the way?
The dude, they just signed this dude. You know, like, they signed him when folks got hurt, like, towards the end of the camp. Like, they signed him.
See, that's why you need depth. Bruh, like, that's why you need depth.
This is what my issue is.
And then even my man, William Bradley King, interviewed him. He played over 50 snaps off the practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, he's played with this team before. That's why I'm not mad. But you're right, though. I'm not mad. He's played with this team enough.
It's like, true.
This dude didn't even barely play in preseason. He didn't play in preseason with these dudes. Yeah, like, I know. So what is it? What is this? Like, this is so he's fairly new to the system, and he's starting. Like, this is what bothers me about this team. And I've said this in the past. I'm going to say it again. You were cool with your nickel situation when you had Jimmy Moreland. You were cool with your nickel situation. It wasn't this. It was decent. It was good. It was good. Jimmy Moreland ranked high in nickels, in terms of nickel corners in the NFL. You decided, I don't know what it was, but you decided to cut him the following year, and you've been having this issue ever since. You know what I'm saying? And Jimmy knows your offense. And I've heard this argument. Well, nobody, Jimmy's out there. No one wants him. Well, you know what? Jimmy plays good in your system. He's played good in your system. Get somebody in your dumbass system so they can play football in your system.
That's something else that he's been consistent about, Coach Rivera. He goes and gets Carolina guys constantly, but never the guys who are going to make an impact. I'm thinking about my man T. Lemon. Shout out to him on Twitter. He shows up every once in a while.
I know, he's back. Now
but he hasn't been talking about a name we
I know. Won. He's actually been cool.
He hasn't mentioned it.
He hasn't been bad.
But what stands out to me is this. Going along with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He said, listen, I'm from B-More. I know Kendall.
Oh, yeah, he said family. That. Yeah, he said that. I was on that joint, too.
And I said, when family friends start to say, you know what? It might be over.
I was like.
It might be over. And on top of that, Swaggy's like, that's my man, but.
But. When you're like, man, you know what it is when you say, that's my man, but. You know it ain't right,
bro. And that's difficult. It's like you and I. Like, we've been playing basketball together for over 2 decades.
Yeah,
you know I'm not the same guy, but you won't tell me that because it's hard to tell me that. Like, he's just trying to get his rhythm. And I'm like, oh, I appreciate him being nice, but I'm man enough to know that I'm not the same dude. And and that's okay.
I'm always gonna give you faith. I'm always gonna give you flowers. That's how I am, dog. I'm always gonna do that.
Listen, if I can self-identify the fact that I'm not the same dude I was in 2007 and 8, then that's fine. And I shouldn't be. However, Kendall Fuller plays football every day. He's been in the system, so something's wrong. And when your friends, when your ex-teammates start to say, that's my dude, but it might be time to take a step back.
When they throw that butt,
then it's probably time to move on. The problem is, I don't know if the coaching staff is in a position where they can basically bench him. And he's not the only issue.
I don't think you should bench him.
Right,
I think you should move him.
Okay, but I don't know if... But what if he is done based on what we're saying?
Dude, you 27. I'm sorry. He is 27, young. 28.
In football years, that might be.
You got to get 30. 30 is when, for a cornerback, that's still good. Like a running back.
Sure.
Like, I don't think he's hit him. He hasn't even had a major injury for me to even say that. I'm just saying, like, he shouldn't be done. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're right.
You're right. I know what you're saying.
You're totally right.
But if I watched him on tape, watching the game, and you say, erase Wikipedia. So I wouldn't know his age. I would think this dude like 35, the way he's playing football.
Again, everybody's different. Now, I know you just mentioned running back, and that's true.
Yeah.
But it's the NFL in general. It can do that to you.
It can, though.
LaDainian Tomlinson was the number one draft pick for how many years in fantasy football? And then all of a sudden, it was over.
Yeah, you're right.
And again, he's a running back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you never know what's going on with Kendall Fuller physically. He's not going to say because he wants to be on the field.
This dude really is 27 years old. I had to go back. I had to double check.
Yeah, he's young.
This dude is really 27.
He's young.
That's crazy, dude.
He's young, and it's inexplicable as to why he sort of fell off because he was really good at one point.
Yes, he was. And
again, I'm a Kendall Fuller fan. I want to stress that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to pick on him, but he's just one example. And it just says to me, from, I guess, a cultural standpoint, from the larger standpoint, that Coach Rivera has his hands full, and I think he's overwhelmed. I think he's in over his head. He asked for all the power because he had confidence and belief that he could lead this franchise, kind of like he did Carolina, a team that Carolina's had some success, but they've had their down years as well, and he did pretty good.
Yeah, he don't have Sean McDermott. And Cam Newton.
True.
So it's different.
Absolutely.
So it's different.
He's in. And you know what? He showed that too. Yeah. He said, it's harder than I thought to change the culture of this franchise. I'm not going to lie. Then he said, I almost wish we didn't make the playoffs. Coach Rivera needs some help.
Yeah.
I think it's nothing wrong with just putting your pride aside and saying, you know what? What I'm doing isn't working. The guys, maybe even the guys I brought in aren't working. Scott Turner was probably not the best decision. I think he's going to be in the future an excellent offensive coordinator because he has that potential. But I made a mistake because in today's NFL, I shouldn't be shut out in two halves, back-to-back weeks.
I don't even know about potential. Bro. I don't even know anymore. Like, I gave dude flowers.
I am giving you the glass half full from a Coach Rivera mindset.
You've been coaching. Like,
Your other coach, bro, your strength coaches, they got the DEA up in there. He's got a whole lot going on.
Sean McVay was off the jump. Like I can say off the jump. He was in the system. Like, he was a quarterback coach. He was all that. Just like Scott Turner was. And this dude is legit. Like, all these other dudes, they've been legit. I'm just saying that.
See,
this dude,
you can say that this year because he has everything
this year,
he needs. He has every tool.
Right. What was I hearing on social media? Man, give this dude a different quarterback. Give him a what?
He's got a quarterback with an arm.
Yeah, give somebody other than the
He curtain. Also, but you know what? It's Carson Wentz. I know he has an arm, but still.
Nah, but this is what it is.
You had pocket presence.
Everybody, like a lot of quarterbacks that we like don't have pocket presence.
Okay.
Let me be real.
Brady's Jalen like Hurts.
Brady has great, he's just like, he can just run. Exactly. It's not the greatest, dude. He can run. He's mobile.
You're right. No, I'm agreeing
with you.
You know
what I'm saying? Like Brady is the most immobile, great pocket presence I've seen in my life. Like, for real. But it's not dudes.
Peyton Manning, too.
Like, they're dudes. They're not a lot to have. But Carson's bad. Don't get it twisted. I'm not going to, like, he's bad. But I'm saying to everyone's argument. Like, I'm going to their argument.
He's got the people he needs now.
Like, give him somebody like in the bottom half, like on the top half of the NFL of quarterbacks, and you can see what Scott Turner could do. That's all I'm saying. Like, and now
no.
That's what I'm saying.
You know why you're right?
That's
because if he had, let's say he had Brady, it would be because of Brady. It would be because of him.
Point. That's what I'm saying.
So if you're the guy that everybody says you are, then you should be making Carson Wentz that dude right now.
Bruh.
Yes, I agree.
Sean McVay made Jared Goff got him to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Right. That's all I'm saying. Everybody trashes Jared Goff.
I agree.
He got him a bag. You know what I'm saying?
He did.
Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy G is talked about being.
Kirk Cousins can benefit from both those guys.
Bro,
you're right. But we know this anyway.
I don't hear
Sean McVay and Shanahan, they're offensive geniuses.
Yeah.
Scott Turner isn't. So we're not going to talk about him that way no more. Yeah. But going back to what I was saying, Coach Rivera, he might be second guessing himself, but he's not going to say it publicly.
He need to, though. I have to quit. So this next question. So after two bad showings, right? Is it time for the fan base to panic? I won't say the fan bases.
Are you going to read comments?
Oh, I'm about to. That's what we're doing.
Okay, let's go to Cam Mingo first.
All right.
Because that's my guy. I'm serious. That's my guy. But he's wrong on this one.
You say he's wrong on this one?
I got a bunch of comments.
We go to Cam.
Cam, I love you, Cam. But I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
All right, I'm going to go to Cam. I'm going to see his rank.
I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
I got a bunch of them. That's why.
We can read all the joints.
I got him.
Okay.
All right, here you go. So, Cam.
See, I mess with Cam.
No, here you go. He says, no. Why is everyone whining and moaning after two bad games? It's way too early in the season, and everyone is acting like we're 0-6 on the season. So, I'm not ready to hit the panic button yet.
Cam, it's not just two bad games.
It's not.
We're talking about.
Go. Go ahead.
All right.
No, we're good.
I know. Okay. We're talking about last season, the year before that. This is a trend with this coaching staff. Cam, I love your positivity. When it comes to the Wizards, it just helps me. It's therapeutic. Your fan, I love it. Yeah. I love your perspective. But in this case, this is a trend, Cam. It's not just two games. And you can't have, in today's football, two halves where you score donuts against the Detroit Lions.
That's what I'm saying.
And the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, this same Eagles defense, who did a great job against Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
But Jared Goff, his offense scored how many points?
And how many running yards? How many rushing yards did Swift have?
So when you abandon the run, when you become pass heavy, and on a day where your offensive line clearly struggling, and the Eagles are getting all the pressure in the world, exactly, then you got to make adjustments, and you don't. And it hasn't just happened in 2 weeks. That's my issue, Cam. I get it. You could totally go on a win streak, and all of this could be behind us. I agree with that. But we should be critical because it is a continuous theme. That's all I'm saying.
My man Eric, he's on here. Wentz was a mistake. People tried to tell y'all.
Uh oh.
I ain't saying he a mistake.
I'm not gonna go that far. Yet.
I'm not going that far.
Even though I'm not a big Wentz fan, I never have been.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't know who will be a good fit in this offense, to be honest.
That's what
because Matt Ryan definitely wasn't the guy.
Yeah.
And he was in the discussion.
I'm gonna tell you,
Trubisky, that's who I wanted, but he's not the guy.
The only quarterback that would be good in this system, like to your point.
Josh Allen.
No.
Oh.
Tom Brady. Like, you gotta have the best quarterback in the world.
Stop.
Like, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. You have to have that guy. You gotta have a guy, like you just said, that you is elite. You gotta have a Justin Herbert. Like
Josh
Allen, you're right.
Justin Herbert.
Obviously, Mahomes, all these dudes. Look at them. I'm talking about people you're not gonna get. Like, these are the dudes that could change Scott Turner's offense. I'm keeping in the buck. Like, this is what people gotta understand. Like, that is the only type of quarterback that's gonna change this dude's offense.
Can Scott Turner turn it around? That's what I want.
That is the question.
Can he turn it around?
That's the question. That's the real question. Let me read this other tweet though. My man at SpinoFBeats. You know what I'm saying? That's my dude, Jay Dilla. He said, I'm already on to the offseason. College football
that's what Cam Mingo's point kicks in. Like, hold on, bro. Don't do it yet.
College football has my complete attention now.
And you know what's crazy, though, is? I mean, we were just on with Big Doug. He's a Georgia fan. Yeah. And I remember watching Doug. He used to come on, like, either Spaces or something last season. Mm-hmm. And he got depressed one Sunday while he's watching games. He said, I watch Georgia football on Saturdays. There's touchdowns. There's long plays. And then I watched this. It was like he has his high on Saturday. So I get it.
All right.
If your college team is representing, like the University of Maryland represented against Michigan last Saturday,
that's cool.
You should be hyped.
They still took an L, though. I saw y'all folks on social media.
I'm sorry. I know you're Michigan.
I saw y'all on social media. I was like, I ain't want to say nothing.
It's good for them.
It's good for y'all. I still took an L. So taking this stride. I was mad at Michigan. I was like, you shouldn't even been that close. Anyway, on Twitter again, CNC. Said so, at CNC said so, says, no, wait until week 7 and 8. If we're playing like this still, then it is what it is. Who else I got? I got my man B. Okay, also, that's another one. Jared on Twitter says, don't know if we should, but we are. All right, yeah, so. But those are the stuff on Twitter. I got a couple on Facebook, but I'm not going to read those right now. But, yeah, man, I feel like, yeah, from my opinion, the fan base should panic. So, like Ray said, this has been 2 years going. It's been consistent. This team has been this for 2 years, dude. Like, you got this. No, sorry, 3 years. The offense has been stagnant, inconsistent for three years.
Right, and they always found a reason
to why.
Dwayne Haskins was the first reason. Rest in peace.
Taylor Heineke, his arm is
Fitzpatrick went down week one.
Yeah. Taylor Heineke doesn't have an arm.
Here's where and Curtis Samuel looked so real out the gate that we just knew. Alex Smith only had one leg. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always an excuse. That's all I'm saying. Like, when do we acknowledge the common denominator? That's all I'm saying. Like, when do we acknowledge it? That's my point. On Facebook, actually, I'm gonna read this Facebook one. My man Cornelius Galt posted on Facebook, says, don't panic, just be realistic. They will finish 4-13. They so far.
The defense couldn't stop the Marlboro
Mustangs. And Scott Turner is the worst.
Not
play
the Marlboro Mustangs.
And Scott Turner is the worst play caller ever.
Shout out to my Marlboro Mustangs.
Hey, shout
bro.
Out to Cornelius, man. You know what I'm saying? Cornbread. Hey, shout out to him, man.
Hey, thanks.
My man Rob on Facebook said, "No, not yet. It's still early. It's not how you start. It's how you finish."
That is so dope. Well, true. Yeah. But going into Dallas, because we're going to talk about this must-win game, going into Dallas.
Go for it, yeah. We'll go right into it.
Where's the confidence meter, fans? It's pretty low at this point.
I don't think it should be high.
It shouldn't be.
Because you just
But this is where you got to tap into your inner Mark Brunell, your inner Joe Gibbs, your inner Santana Moss, your inner Stephen Davis, them underdogs that went into Big D and got it done. Even what's my man name from Texas? She's Colt McCoy, went in. Cole McCoy went in with DeSean Jackson.
Sure did.
And he got it done. Uh-huh. But you know what else that we didn't talk about? And I know that I've heard many say, oh, this opponent's going to look good on the schedule, blah, blah, blah. You know what? The Eagles are an excellent team right now. I'm not going front. Devontae Smith looks like a bigger DeSean Jackson. So fast.
He's fast. He's always
back. Of course. But I'm just saying, he looks like such a beast. And he's got A.J. Brown opposite him now. Like, and they got a mobile quarterback.
Facts.
You speaking mean, I'm just saying, the Eagles are a tough team.
Yeah, they are.
And that's a tough win. So now you're playing another tough team. But at the same time, Dallas, I respect what they're doing, but they're beatable. I believe that. So you have to go in desperate. And I'm going to say, because of that reason, this is a must-win game. Gotta have this. You cannot start 0-2 in division with low confidence, but this is a road game and it's gonna be difficult. But can it be done? Of course it can. And you gotta have that mindset. So today, every game should be a must win, but this is really a must win.
I think Coach Rivera is a must win game. Like in terms of his red, it's for him, it's definitely a must win.
He's gonna have to make a change after
week
4.
Because he has to. I think it is what it is.
He's gonna make a change.
Because it's a must win game for him because he has to prove that he's building something for real. Like the Cowboys are coming into this game wounded. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like with all the talk about the offseason, like, oh, man, Washington should be like the second or third best team in the NFC East. Now you see that one of the player, like their starting quarterback, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and Dak Prescott is out. You know, is not going to play in this game. Shouldn't be playing in this game. Put it this way, and you're going against the backup Cooper Rush, who's 1-2 in a row. But still, mm-hmm. though, it's still not. He ain't Dak Prescott. Like you're going with the lesser quarterback, right? So
he's been accurate though, shockingly.
But they're not scoring like that too.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's been two close games.
It's been a team
which says that you can.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if you're Ron Rivera, you're talking about you basically still have like you're missing offensive linemen. All right, cool. But you have all like your weapons offensively, right? You have all your weapons. You have predominantly most of your defensive players. So like other than where you start the season with, Chase will come back eventually. But I'm just saying you have most of your defensive weapons you plan to have. So. Like you should, this game coming to the season, it should be a must win. Because if you looked at the schedule before, you told me there's not going to be any Dak. You would think, all right, Washington got a good chance to win this football game. Knowing that the only weapon you have offensively again on the outside is CeeDee Lamb, who hasn't, to this point, as talented as CeeDee Lamb is, hasn't proven to be a number one wide receiver when Amari Cooper gone. So they're not as dynamic as they've been in the past offensively. So if you're telling me with all the weapons, like with no Dak, this team should be able to beat that. Yeah, I feel like this is a must-win for Ron Rivera. Like, he shouldn't feel like he should win this game. But he has to win. But if you're telling me, will they win this game? That's a totally different argument.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel like it's a must-win for him because there's two levels to it. This is the best chance you're going to beat the Cowboys, for real. If everybody gets healthy, the best chance to beat the Cowboys. They're not having Dak. You're already – and then you lost to the Eagles already. You lost a home division game. Right? So now you're 0-1 in division, and then you lost a home game, so you already lost that advantage, right? So home game is supposed to be your advantage. This is an advantage for you right now. For real. It's an advantage for you. No Dak is an advantage for you. You got to take advantage of it. Because if you don't take advantage, if you go 0-2 in a division already, then what are you playing for? Like, these teams are going to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to get better. That's my problem. Like, to me, for Ron, to prove to the fan base, to have people, if you want people to come and you want people to feel good about this organization, this team, yeah, this is a must-win for me.
So you mentioned CeeDee Lamb, but can Washington defend a tight end?
Tight ends haven't really killed them so far this year.
I'm
the
just
wide
saying.
Receiver has.
The wide
receivers have been killing
them. True. But I'm just saying, don't sleep on that because for Cooper Rush, that's been his safety net if you watched him play.
Yes.
Number two is, what are your blocking schemes going to look like?
That's my thing, bro.
Giants actually game plan last night, and they slowed Micah Parsons down.
He was sick too, though, bro.
I never said they stopped him.
Oh, yeah.
They slowed him down just a little bit. What are you going to try to do? Because in the last couple weeks.
I'm laughing at you on that one. Why? They ain't doing nothing with Micah Parsons, dude. I just think that's
well,
what they.
I don't think you got a chance.
Let me make this as simplistic as possible.
Okay.
All right. The Cowboys have a way better defense than the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the problem, and it's right there.
That's scary.
That is the problem.
And
look at their track record.
And some of them know Carson Wentz.
Yes. Look at the track.
D-Law knows Carson Wentz. He might not play, but he knows Carson
Wentz. But look at the track record, though. Look at what the Cowboys had to deal with in their games already this season. Like, for real. Look what they went against Tom Brady. He struggled. They went against who's game two? The Bengals. Burrow, he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
They like, and now they just beat the Giants. I'm not saying that Dan Jones is good, but I mean, they've seen two good, really good quarterbacks, two of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and both dudes struggle. You know what I'm saying? Like, their defense is legit. Like, they're a tested defense. Like, you can't, out of everybody in the NFC East, if you're telling me the first three games of the season, who has seen the better, which defense has competed and competed well against some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL already, it's been the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm just saying, like, the Washington Commanders are seeing the defense right now in the NFC East.
This is why I never talk about schedule, because everybody was so exuberant. We have a good schedule. We can win these games. This is looking like a must win, because you have been blanked in the first half, back-to-back weeks. Confidence is low on the team and amongst the fan base. Are we going to fill FedEx? Now you can't. The Eagles, again, they took everybody's tickets. If you come out and you start 2-0 and you destroying teams with your brand new offense, Scott Turner looks like a genius. There's no way people giving up their tickets. I don't believe it at this point. But maybe so, because it's been historically a problem. But I'm just going to say this. You have so many issues, and the only way you can fix them is by playing better on the field. You got a game plan. You got a game plan hard this week, because you're going to limit this Dallas defense that you said. You're going to learn how to attack it. Dan Quinn is he's just good as a DC. He's an excellent DC. This is going to be a tough game. However, what you said is important. They're not scoring a whole lot. So if you can keep it close, you give yourself a chance. Because what defense can you beat up on? A tired defense.
That's true. Well, I mean, I'll read this.
Got to run the football, though.
Yeah, I'm going to read George's comment on Facebook. George said, in terms of, is this game against Cooper Rush and the Cowboys a must-win for Rivera? He said, without a doubt, lose this, and the season is headed for disaster, and this coaching staff should head for the unemployment line.
Yeah, I mean, he should make a change to his staff. I'm pretty sure
something may happen after.
I think they're going to lose, and then he's going to have to make a move.
I think so too.
Him taking over the play call, I don't know what that would look like. Defensively, might be better.
Also on Twitter, I'm at Beasley 62 says Dan won't fire him in midseason, but it's a must win for Wentz. He looks bad and gets blown out. Then you have to just give the remaining season to Sam Howell and wait for Young and Robinson to come back and see what the team looks like moving forward. Mm. I think the Sam Howell thing's a little too early, but you know, I like Sam Howell. It's not knocking him. I think it's a little too early. You know what I'm saying?
Again, true rebuild. That's what it looks like.
That's what you're trying to go for. So what's your prediction, Ray?
I think the Cowboys win. In the past 2 weeks, they've won ugly. Because, again, their offense isn't the same. But they do run the ball effective enough.
Yeah.
Again, their tight end, only 3 catches last night, but he averaged 14 yards per catch. That's big. Again, that's a safety net. But because of the reason all the reasons you just mentioned about the offense, I think you can keep it close. And it's going to be one of those games where if Dallas wins, they're either going to win close or they're going to win huge. Because they're home and they're going to be feeling themselves. Yeah. And Carson Wentz is going to be giving Trevon Diggs gifts. So I'm not gonna go with the latter. I'm gonna give the Commanders defense some love that they're gonna play their hearts out, because they don't wanna be 1-3. And as a result, it's gonna be a close game, but the Cowboys still win ultimately at home 17-14.
I can never give the Cowboys a W, therefore I'm not gonna predict the game. I'm not gonna predict this, because it would hurt me too much to pick that team. But I will say this though, in terms of giving my true in depth analysis, right? I do think that, you know, to me, I said this before, the Cowboys have a better defense, their defense is probably, this is the best defense Washington has seen. This is a fact. Now, in terms of, you know, Diggs or whatever, I think there'll be plays, if the Cowboys want to gift Washington and give Diggs and Terry one-on-one, if they want to gift him and give him that on a deep pass with no safety help, Terry is going to get one. He's going to get one. But that doesn't mean they're going to win. Like, I feel like – but I don't know if Carson will be upright long enough, because Micah's going to be there. Like, to me, Micah Parsons is the problem. Like, he's a serious problem. And they don't have anybody on that line to block Micah Parsons. I think if you're going to be real objective on this, like, really, and view it for what it is, and if you watch the Dallas Cowboys play, if you watch this Washington Commanders offensive line, you know that nobody on that line is going to block Micah Parsons. So I don't think you have enough time to do a 7-step drop and try to get that ball to Micah Parsons. I don't think you have enough time for it. So I'm very interested to see what Scott Turner does against the Dallas Cowboys.
So you're not picking Dallas because you can't, but
I can't.
You believe Dallas is probably going to win.
I'm not saying that either.
All right. Well, we're both picking Dallas.
I ain't saying nothing.
I'm picking Dallas. You can pick Washington. That's fine.
I ain't saying that. I ain't saying either.
Again, you got to channel your inner Mark Brunell. That's all I can say.
They need to.
Or inner Colt McCoy. It can be done.
Yes, it can be.
Can be done.
It can.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Hey, as part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with North Carolina A&T men's basketball coach Philip Shumpert. After the break, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For I just yet it, deuces.
We the best music. Another one. DJ Khaled. I like the wretchedest women. G6, let's get it. Rich coming down to the city. On God. Yo, outside getting litty. Showing me the titties. Acting like a menace. Standing on the couch. Standing on business. Drinks in your mouth. Swallow, don't spit it. Party all the time. Feeling like Diddy. Shining a little wrist. Feeling like Billy. God did. I'm a witness. I just sent 50 bottles to. Know the gang getting a VIP by the penis. Still in the meeting. Be back in a minute. If I'm talking chicken, hey. We the best, we too blessed, we keep winning. We the best. The party won't stop, it won't finish. Let's get it.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, and we are part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. We want to thank you all for tuning in to our show. We appreciate you all. Before we sign off, listen into our HBCU Corner interview with North Carolina A&T State University men's basketball coach Philip Shumpert. Hey, you know what? Thank you all for tuning in. You know, we appreciate you. You are the true and real MVPs. All right, enjoy the interview.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ampire Media. That's at AmpireMedia.com. It is now time for HBCU Corner, and our guest today has a basketball resume that includes coaching at both the high school college.
Hey, right. Can you do it again? You were skipping.
Oh, shoot.
All right. Try that one more time.
All right. Am I clear now?
Now you're clear. Do it again.
All right. My bad. You want to do it? You want to count down again?
Nah, just go ahead. Go right into it.
Okay. All right. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ampire Media. That's at AmpireMedia.com. And it is now time for our HBCU Corner segment. And our guest today has a coaching resume at both the high school and the junior college level, in addition to serving as a basketball consultant for the Georgia Hoop Circle. Our guest has a reputation of being a strong recruiter as well as a developer of talent. He's coached the men as well as the ladies, and he's currently the interim coach at North Carolina A&T State University for the men's basketball team. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, Coach Philip Shumpert. Welcome, Coach.
Thank you, man. I'm glad y'all had me come by and speak. It's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, thank you for being on. It's an honor for us, to be honest with you. You're part of the movement. You know what I mean? So it's an honor for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're going to start off. We're going to have a little fun. And actually, you know what? Before we do that, I just want to say this. You're currently at North Carolina A&T. And right now, A&T is experiencing record growth, record enrollment. Just talk about the culture at North Carolina A&T. As a matter of fact, the chancellor, Harold Martin, he said, quote, truly, there has never been a more exciting time to be an Aggie. So what's your thoughts about that? And just give us, again, insight about the culture there at North Carolina A&T.
Well, this is going into my fourth year. I spent, you know, the first 3 years as assistant. I'm the interim head coach now. And to watch when I first got here, I was at Jackson State originally, another HBCU. I coached there. And I came here and the Aggie pride is real, man. The students, the alumni, the support is amazing. And just to see the growth as our third league in 3 years, just to see the, you know, overall growth of the athletic department and the record enrollment each year, we're hitting record numbers. And it's just been an amazing ride these last 3 or 4 years, for the school, you know, and it's going to continue to grow. And you know, they got new projects building and it's just growing every day. So, I mean, It's exciting times here, and especially in athletics with us getting an opportunity. We was in the MEAC, then got a chance to go to Big South, and now we're in what, you know, basketball-wise, 12th best conference in the country. You know what I'm saying? As the largest HBCU, it's a, you know, it's big time to get an opportunity to be in a conference at that high of a level.
I love the swagger. I'm not going to ask about G-Ho right now. I hear enough about it. But you know what?
That's ridiculous.
I was at the Aggie Eagle Classic in Charlotte, and it looked like an A&T home game. I tell you, even though Central, same state, but A&T showed up and show out. So I can't hate. You all are definitely representing. I appreciate that. And I want to ask, like I said, we're going to have a little fun. So, of course, you know all too well about the buzz surrounding J.R. Smith being a student athlete right there on campus, part of the golf team. Have you ever thought about asking him about his eligibility for basketball?
I wish he did have some eligibility. Oh man, he's came to the school and just really locked in and focused on you know, his academics and golf, and you know, he was had highest grade point average any student athlete last year. Man, he's done a tremendous job of you know, coming back to school and you know, blending in, working hard, and just, you know, trying to be a student athlete now instead of, you know, because he went 15 years as an NBA star. So I wish he did have some eligibility. They helped us tremendously.
No, it never crossed your mind, huh?
Has he ever tried to drop his two cents in terms of the basketball program?
No. He's been focused on the task at hand. He's trying. I think he's, you know, getting better and better with, you know, golf and concentrating on you know, getting a degree from A&T.
I know that's right.
Sweet. All right, so let's get a little more serious now. As I mentioned in your introduction, you have a reputation of being a great recruiter. Yeah. How has the recruitment process been, considering what we just talked about pertaining to the university's growth, as well as having a former NBA player on campus?
Well, I mean, our recruitment, as we transitioned to the Big South last year, our recruitment was able to be taken to another level. We ended up getting Duncan Powell, who was an ESPN top 100, you know, a high school kid. And then we end up getting a few transfers that were really, really good for our program last year. And then this year we end up signing another kid who was a three-star kid. So our recruitment has elevated as the school and as we've moved conferences and, you know, just the reputation of the school, you know, being the largest HBCU, having some of the best business and engineering programs in the country and things of that nature. And the thing is, you know, how as you move up, so I can play at this level and I can get the best of both worlds, a great college experience that I can always come back home to versus just, you know, playing basketball and, you know, you know how it's a difference. It's a big difference. The culture of it is a big difference, and I think we've been able to be successful to recruit guys because of that.
So, Coach, what are some of your big recruiting bases? Like, what areas do you kind of focus on?
Of course, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the main Baker's a bas- you know, it's a basketball state.
Of course,
great tradition. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. Pinch out in Florida, Texas, and Illinois. That's been my main recruiting basis.
So, Coach, you're a part of the Boost Mobile HBCU Challenge in Vegas this December alongside Norfolk State and Texas Southern. Talk about how that came about and how that exposure will benefit your program as well as HBCUs in general.
Well, I think it'd be a great benefit to HBCUs this tournament with us in Hampton, Texas Southern, and Norfolk. Two challenging games. It's kind of like the CAA right now versus the SWAC and the MEAC. So I mean that's big. I think that's going to be big time. But you know, like Texas Southern is the defending SWAC champions, and Norfolk State is defending MEAC champion. You know, Rob Jones does a heck of a job each and every year up there. And man, I think it's going to be big for us. We travel well, so a lot of people are excited and talking about coming out to Vegas and supporting us and things of that nature. So it's really exciting for us to get an opportunity to go out there and play against two big time HBCU programs.
They want to party in Vegas. That's why they want to party. Yeah, in Vegas. Yeah. That's why. You know what they're trying to do.
I get best of both worlds, sport and party a little bit.
That's,
right?
That's true. That's true. Best of both worlds. You're not lying about that.
Don't have too much fun out there. So, Coach, you just mentioned the CAA. That was the second conference shift. How has that impacted the program, for better or worse, with just the changing of conferences and in ways, of course, elevating your program and just the university?
Well, anytime you can continue to elevate as a university and a program, I mean, you can't complain about that. I mean, we was, like I say, was in the MEAC, we went to the Big South, you know, which we thought was, we were going to be there for a while, but ultimately, you know, with all this conference realignment around the country, we got a chance to get to the conference that, you know, we ultimately wanted to be in, you know, the CAA, a great league in all of sports. I mean, especially basketball and football, it's a big time league. So, you know, big time league for us, exposure for the university. So we're excited about it. We're excited about it. We were able to capitalize on recruiting and by getting some high caliber guys that could play, you know, definitely could play at that level. So it's helped us tremendously on the recruiting front.
Coach, you talked about some great recruiting. So obviously, and it being in this tough conference, being in a conference that kind of raises the level, raises the bar. In terms of your team skill or whatnot. So what's the outlook of this going into the season? And what are some of the challenges going into the season as well?
I think going into the season, the biggest shift is going to be when we're in the Big South, the travel was local. Now you go, we start conference off in Boston. And then New York, you know what I'm saying? So the distance of travel, we play really every Thursday and Saturday. So it's play a game, boom, go fly out, boom. You know what I'm saying? It's just quick turnarounds, but it's a long distance of travel. I think that's going to be a challenge that we're going to have to get used to, because we didn't have to do that in either one of the conferences. The outlook of the team has been great. I mean, these guys have been together all summer. Built a great chemistry. You know, they've been through some adversity, of course, you know, and through that adversity, they became a really, really tight unit and family. So, you know, they're holding each other accountable and they're working hard. You know, it was an easy transition because I built a relationship with most of those, I recruited majority of those guys. So, That made the process a little bit easier to get them to buy in quickly to what we were trying to do for this upcoming year.
So in terms of trying to get the program and having a fantastic season, who are some of the players you're going to be leaning on for this season?
Well, we got two leading scorers back, Marcus Watson, Demetri Horton. Marcus Watson is a kid. Was at Oklahoma State and New Mexico State, four-star kid from Georgia. Averaged like 12 for us, 5 or 6 rebounds. Plays the wing for us, 6'6", 235. And he's really athletic, really good at getting to the basket and can really knock down open shot. And then we got Demetri Horton, who we got from the Horizon League. He's our second leading scorer and second leading rebounder. So we got two guys coming back that build a nucleus for these young guys that we brought in. We brought in two guards that both of them won back-to-back national championships in junior college. Love Bettis at Coffee won a national championship as a freshman. And Cam Woods won a national championship last year at Northwest Florida. So they know what it takes to win. They know what it's like. They know what you got to do in order to be successful. At a high level. So we're excited about those guys. Brought in a couple of big guys. Will Felter from Arizona State, 6'9", about 250. He's really from North Carolina. He's been really, really good for us. And we got Austin Johnson, who was from UC Irvine, 6'9", 245. top 10 in the country in block shots last year, UC Irvine. So we, you know, that gives us a rim protector that we didn't have last year. So we have a, and then we got some returners like Jeremy Robinson, you know, Cal. Yeah. What'd you say?
He's a DMV.
DMV. That's what Jeremy.
Yeah, 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 Jeremy.
Around here.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy's been tremendous for us. He's been a leader. He's got his body right. He's playing his best basketball right now. And toward the end of the season, he was a key guy, man, on that run that we almost beat Longwood, man, hitting shots, rebounding, playing hard. So he's gonna be tremendous for us. And of course, you know, we got Duncan Powell. You know, the guy, you know, that was really heralded last year, but he did, you know, he redshirted last year. So he's back healthy and he's looking really good out there. Inside, outside guy, 6'8". Can really, really get a lot of stuff done. High basketball IQ, really works hard. So we got a core of guys that that are high level guys that can come right in if they stick together and play together. We could be really, really good.
So, Coach, can I just guarantee a tournament in the NCAA tournament? Can I guarantee that? Am I allowed to do that? Or am I jinxing it? Or am I jinxing it? Because, you know, I know.
I don't want to jinx it. I want to jinx.
I'm not going to say nothing.
I'll take one game at a time. You know what I'm saying? Approach it like that, man. And then at the end, we'll celebrate.
All right. I'm with you then. One game at a time. We'll go with that motto. One game at a time.
Well, you got a big season coming up. You got some high-level games. Houston. Yeah. Iowa State, so that it's gonna be fun to watch. Jeremy Robinson, like I said, DMV is good to see recruiting out of this area. That's where we're from, DC, Maryland, Virginia. This rich basketball culture that we have here, you should definitely look into it as well. I don't know if Carolina's a basketball state, but yeah. Hey,
well, check us out. You know, I got another guy that gets in that area, Washington DC, Philly. Okay, my basis, but we got someone in that DC area that's, I think, going to be there next week in the area trying to find some guys up in the DMV and Philly area. So, definitely. Yeah, that's where the good basketball being played up there. So, you know, we got to get up there.
Hey, got to. BMO, too. Don't forget about BMO. Thanks. Thanks, Coach, for joining us. I love the energy. You got me thinking now. December, I'm supposed to be in Charlotte for a tournament, but I might just show up in Vegas.
You there, man. You need to be there, man.
It's a place to be. Hey.
Yeah, all the support we can get.
Oh, love no
it.
Doubt.
Love it. Well, Coach, thanks all for right. being on. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thanks for being on HBCU Corner.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, man. Have a blessed one.
All right, you too. Y'all guys take care.
Thank you.